Blaze Radio Network.
And now, Chewing the Fat with Jeff Fisher.
So a school principal in Japan has been fired after being caught underpaying for his coffee. That bastard. As a result, he's not going to receive his retirement pay, which is valued, I guess, at $133,000 U.S. money, which is, you know, I don't know, millions in yen. The incident was reported in the city of Takasago, which I love Takasago. It's located in the Hyogo Prefecture, Hansu. And man, that is just, there's nothing more beautiful than that area. Anyway, the 59-year-old male principal of Takasago Junior High School was reportedly busted after using a self-service coffee machine at a convenience store. He allegedly, well, not allegedly, I mean, he's been, they found him guilty, had been pouring himself a large size coffee while only paying for a regular size coffee. So the picture is a weird looking machine that they have in Japan. But regular coffee, I guess, sells for 73 cents. And he purportedly was getting a larger size valued at $1.20, which is a difference of 47 cents. Now, the store clerk, I apparently noticed and stopped the man. And then the store clerk called police. Okay, calm down, store clerk. The clerk claimed that he had done that sneaky act a couple of times before. Now, the store did not press charges, so it must have not been that big a deal. It was just like, stop doing what you're doing with our coffee machine. Maybe the store should figure out a way that could stop the process of being able to get a large coffee for the price of one. Anyway, for a small one. Anyway, the school found out about it and questioned him. And he said, I did it about seven times. I add up to about $3.26 worth of coffee. Oh, okay. So he told the board, I did it on impulse. I'm sorry. I just did it. Well, he's been fired, citing gross misconduct, unbecoming of an educational public servant. They stated, hey, you know what? We're sorry. Wish we didn't have to fire you, but take care. I mean, he could have probably just said, look, I didn't know how to use the machine. It was, you know, it was just a mistake. But he didn't. He owned up to it and said, hey, sorry. So I don't know if he's going to get his job back or get his retirement funds back. I know that they're fighting it now for being disproportionately severe. Yeah, no kidding. No kidding, disproportionately severe. Any of us that went to a coffee machine and figured out that, you know what, I could get a large coffee for the price of a small coffee the way this machine works, I think we all would do it. And you know what? Gosh darn it, now that I say it out loud, that's what's wrong with the world. Am I right? Yeah, I am. I'm still going to do it, but that's what's wrong with the world. Welcome. Welcome to Chewing the Fat. Well, if you're thinking about staying at an Airbnb, you can feel safer soon. Airbnb is banning the use of indoor security cameras in its listings globally. Oh, that is so sweet. Now, if a host does have indoor security cameras, they have until April 30th to remove them. After this date, a host who violates the new policy could face consequences, including listing or account removal on the platform. Don't make them send the Airbnb police after you with an indoor camera, okay? So you cannot have indoor security cameras in common areas. And now, you used to be able to, or at least, and you still can until April 30th, but you have to disclose it on the listings page, and it has to be placed in visible spots in the home. Indoor security cameras, however, were never allowed in spaces like sleeping areas and bathrooms. So the goal is to create new, clear rules that provide our community with greater clarity about what to expect on Airbnb. Oh, again, that's so sweet. Now, our new policy was created in consultation with guests, hosts, and privacy experts. Okay. So, I mean, they can still have outdoor security cameras and doorbell cameras. They're permitted as long as they're disclosed in the paperwork and the presence and general location of any outdoor cameras to guests are known. The indoor security cameras in Airbnb listings are no longer going to be allowed after April 30th. So just know if you're going to use Airbnb after April 30th, there better not be any cameras in the living room or kitchen areas. So just make sure that you clean it up and nothing could be safer than having an Airbnb without cameras allowed inside the home. All right, I have a question. How long before these locations actually just close? We're getting reports where multiple Taco Bell locations in Oakland have closed dining rooms because of crime concerns. Taco Bell said, hey, we're providing a safe environment for team members and customers is always a priority. And the decision was made by the restaurant's franchisee owner, Diversified Restaurant Group. So they are just closing. Look, the Diversified Restaurant Group owns 300 Taco Bell and Arby's locations, predominantly in the western U.S., and at least four of those locations in Oakland have been closed. Their dining rooms have been closed. The drive-thru remains operational. And so, okay, how long before they actually just close down? The one Taco Bell location has been robbed four times in the past 4 months, finding signs notifying, hey, the restaurant is now closed. The restaurant still has plywood on the windows from the most recent robbery when robbers rammed a pickup truck through the window to steal a safe. So it's not going to matter whether the dining room is open or not. They also have problems with auto theft and property damage when people park to go inside the store. The In-N-Out in Oakland is set to close. I remember we talked about that. A Denny's recently closed in its only location in Oakland after more than 54 years, citing public safety concerns. Cane's near the airport closed its dining room last year, but you know they're closing their dining rooms and adding just the drive-through. I don't see that lasting very, very long because the crime is still going to happen. Something has to be done about the crime. You can quote me on that. Something has to be done about the crime. But, I mean, California is, the people, stores are closing down, and I say this left and right. I mean, we have all kinds of stores, well, in San Francisco, in the Bay Area, where Oakland is, that stores are just closing down. The one San Francisco Center Mall, which I guess is going to be renamed Emporium Center San Francisco and Union Square, which, oh man, that's going to be, the mall is going to change its name to Emporium Center San Francisco. That'll help. Anyway, they have been losing businesses. Nordstrom, Cinemark, Hollister, Adidas, Lego Store, they've all closed. There's plenty of other businesses that are just shutting down. They're just leaving because of, well, there's no business, and there's crime. And then I see a story about a small bookstore that's closing in California, Northern California. It's been open for, I don't know, 100 years. And the quote from the owner was, you own a bookstore, so you believe that a miracle is coming. And the miracle never came. So very sad that these businesses have to close either by crime or no business, and there's no way for them to make a living in California any longer. The good news is that it's not just California. We got news that Pittsburgh, the Bureau of Police confirms major changes to the way the police are going to work in Pittsburgh. So beginning next week, they're not going to respond to any calls that aren't in progress emergencies. Wait, what? Yeah, we want to cut our call volume by, I don't know, a couple hundred thousand calls a year. Oh, okay. So criminal mischief, theft, harassment, burglary alarms, they're going to be handled by the telephone reporting unit or online reporting. We're not going to send officers out there. That's just too much work. Wait, what? Yeah. And we've got the Pittsburgh Parking Authority. They're going to handle the parking complaints. We got to free up our officers to do more important things. We want to allow our officers to be engaged in the community in a way. Now they're at the YMCA instead of sitting on 10th Street bypass with a bike complaint. Oh, I see. That's just wonderful. What about the hours between 3 a.m. and 7 a.m.? Yeah, you know what? We're not going to have anybody at the police station anyway. In our six little zone stations. Yeah, there's not going to be anybody there. We've put in 911 emergency call boxes. What do you want from us? If there's a problem, use that. And the overnight shifts, and there's only a few officers that are going to be out and about for us, the city of Pittsburgh. So there's just 20. We have 22 officers that are going to be out and about. Now, they're going to be, you know, they're not going to be helping anybody with those small little crimes, but they're going to be out there. Other cities, Dallas, right? I mean, Dallas not too long ago put in their low call priority incidents, and they have the online boxes in front of the police stations where you can report crimes that you can go to, so you don't have to call 911 and bog the police department down with those pesky calls. Man, I hate bogging the police down with crime. I just hate that. And listen, this is what you get, right? I mean, we've had cries for the past, I don't know, what, 4 years to eliminate the police department? And now this is what happens when you do eliminate the police department. They have no budget. No one wants to be a police officer. This is a tough time to be a police officer in America. I realize that. I know it's a tough time to be a police officer in this country. And look, I joke around about backing the blue. I do back the blue. I just find it difficult sometimes because we've lowered our expectations on who we're going to allow to be police officers, so that the people that we're getting to be police officers may not be the best people for the job. And so now not only do we have that issue, we have the issue of cities not being able to keep citizens safe. So be safe out there. Be safe. Then not only that, do you remember a time when vital medications didn't get rationed in the United States? You do? Me too. I mean, that used to be something that happened in other countries and not here. Well, unfortunately, things just aren't that way anymore. It's just one reason why you need to have the Jace case on hand. It's a personalized emergency medication kit that contains five essential antibiotics, which treat the most common and deadly bacterial infections. It's customizable. It's got dozens of add-on medications available, so you can choose the ones that best fit you and your family's needs. They even have ivermectin as an add-on option. And you can get gift cards for your family or loved ones so that they can get and customize a Jace case of their own. And Jace is simple. You go online, you fill out a form, then you get prescriptions, life-saving medications delivered right to your door. The Jace case gives you peace of mind so that you're not just hoping you have access to medication in an emergency. You actually have it. Go to jacemedical.com. Jacemedical.com. You can enter the code Jeffy, J-E-F-F-Y, at checkout for a discount on your order. That's promo code Jeffy at JASEmedical.com. All right, let's go to the break room. I need something cold to drink desperately. Be sure to follow me on my social media accounts at JeffyJFR on X, Jeff Fisher Radio on Facebook and Instagram. You can follow me on my YouTube channel, Chewing the Fat with Jeff Fisher. You can always email the show, chewingthefat@theblaze.com, and you can order a cameo from me as well at JeffyJFR on the Cameo app. That's not free, by the way. I know. That's just the way Cameo works. They're like my pimp. And so you pay Cameo and everybody gets their cut. Cameo gets their cut. I get my cut. I perform my duties. And then you get the performance. I know. That's just the way it works. At Jeffy JFR on Cameo. So I'm reading this story about this couple in Europe who won $148 million, or it's actually 148 million euros or whatever it is, but they, you know, a lot of money in some Euro Millions jackpot back in 2012. Okay, so she was married, a couple was married, they won the big Euro Millions, and then she won it, so she put her husband on a generous monthly allowance, which was nice of her, but then she eventually booted him out. So she saw, and I think this is, I'm not sure if this is the second husband or the first husband, because it talks about her and her first husband won the mega jackpot, but then they got divorced. Yeah, okay, so they got divorced. So I guess you cut that in half. And so 148,656,000 pounds in the Euro Millions. So you cut that in half. Now you're looking at, what, 75 million plus after taxes. So they both probably got, I don't know, 35 million if they split it 50-50. I don't know how much money she had. But then she got married again, and she said the second husband just saw her as a cash machine. Well, duh. And they did sign a prenup, but he just kept begging for more money, and then she finally kicked him out. Then she complains about the family, who she said she spent $20 million on. She got everybody out of debt and bailed them all out. And she said it was, supposed to make everyone happy, but all it did was, make everybody a beggar and come after her for more money. So she didn't lay down the law saying, hey, this is it. I'm paying off your debts. I'm taking care of this. This is it. And this is all you get. And so now she's got a new kid with the second hubby that I guess they had during the lockdown. And she apparently still has quite a bit of money. I don't know how much she has left from the fund. And the story is about her, not the first husband who she divorced from. So I don't know where he's at. Adrian, I don't know if he kept, what amount he got, if he's, happy and alone, but I mean, she's still doing fine. It's just a struggle for her now after winning all this money, because she said, handing over 50,000 euros or 20,000 euros wasn't a big deal. I just wanted the family to stay together. Well, it was a big deal. And now the family doesn't speak to her, and they all need to know the value of money. So if you were to win the lotto, let's say you do win the lotto, which, by the way, there was not a winner in the Powerball last night. So the next drawing of the Powerball is tomorrow. If you're listening live, today is the 12th of March, 2024. So the new Powerball drawing is the 13th of March, 2024, with a $559 million jackpot, $273.3 million cash payout. And then there's the Mega Millions drawing tonight, which is worth $735 million, a jackpot, $356.7 million cash payout. So if you were to win that, how long would you remain married to the spouse you're married to now? That's my question. I never really thought about it. You'd take the cash payout after taxes. If you were to win the mega tonight, after, you take the cash payout, if you have the winning ticket, sign it, put it in a safe, and then get your ducks in a row. We've talked about this before. Don't start yelling and screaming and hollering. Well, I mean, you can yell and scream with your spouse and, maybe your immediate family, but everybody else needs to zip it. And then you get all your ducks in a row. And you figure $356.7 cash payout. After taxes, you're going to walk away with, even if it's only $200 million, you're probably going to walk away with more than $200 million. But let's just use $200 million as the line. That's pretty good. So you've got to set up trust funds for all the people that you want to give money to. right? And you want to have those trust funds laid out so that in the end, and you figure what? You got maybe $50 million in trust funds for your kids and your wife's grandkids and, whatever other relatives you're going to give money to help them out. And it's got to be trust funds. This is all you get. We want to make you, here you go. This is what you get, whether it's $1 million or two or three or five, whatever you're going to give them. And then, that's it. Don't be coming around banging on my door for more money. In fact, you can. I'm not going to answer the door, but we're done. And then the rest of it is for you and your spouse, right? And you can do whatever you want to do with that other $100 million. Man, that would be sweet. That would be sweet. I would say that this family in the United Kingdom is, I don't know if it's a full example of what happens to people when they win the lotto. If it is, you know what? I'll take a shot. I'll take a shot because 200 or more million dollars sounds like I'm willing to give it a shot. Money can't buy happiness, Jeff. Don't you know that? Yes, I do. I do know that money cannot buy happiness, but it does ease the pain of sadness. I did see where the Oscar viewership was up. They claim that they had 19.5 million people watching the Oscars this past weekend, which was up from the previous few years. I mean, the ratings have been tanking for these award shows. So they claim that 19.5 million viewers in the 3.8 rating in adults, 18 to 49 demographic, means that this year's show was just shy of 4% in total viewers, but down 5% in the key demo. Wait, so we were up, but we were down. Okay, great. We were up, but we were down. So they were happy. Let's see. The 2024 telecast was the most watched Oscars since 2020, which isn't saying much. The 2021 telecast, which was heavily impacted by the COVID-19 pandemic, drew an all-time low. That was 10.4. And then in 2022, it was 16.6 million, followed by last year's 18.8. Yeah, so if they had 19, they went up. But some of the demo numbers were down, which does not surprise me. And then I saw, just as a side note, the last week's State of the Union address, which was just a nightmare. That pulled in, they claim, 32 million viewers, which was up 18% from 2023. So 32 million watched the president in his drug-fueled anger State of the Union. And it was great, wasn't it? Yes. Yes, it was. It was fantastic to watch his speech to Congress and to the Americans. It was broadcast across 14 cable outlets, and 5 million more viewers than the 2023 State of the Union, and it was great. It was great. Right? Right. Right. Who died today? Well, let's start with Eric Carmen. Eric Carmen, the musician, is dead at the age of 74. You remember All By Myself, Hungry Eyes. Ugh, All By Myself. Oh, my gosh. When I was young, I never needed anyone. Oh, anyway, rest in peace, Eric Carmen. The Raspberries frontman and solo artist, dead at the age of 74. No cause of death was given. So, I mean, it can't be that, because if it was that, they would have said something. Am I right? Yes. Rest in peace, Eric Carmen, dead at the age of 74. Then we have Steve Lawrence. Steve Lawrence, who is dead at the age of 88. Now, Steve died from complications due to Alzheimer's disease. Very sad. You remember Steve Lawrence with, Steve and Edie, Lawrence and Gourmet. They were the duo, right? I mean, in Vegas, they played nightclubs and talk shows, and they were it, baby. And they said, I remember an interview with Steve talking about how they wanted him to change. And he was like, no way. I want to be Sinatra. I don't want to be a rock star. So they just continued on with their life, and it worked out for them. They were it was Steve and Edie, man. That was it. Now, we'll say this. Edie died back in 2013, so Steve has just been wandering around with his dementia for the past few years. Very sad. I'm not making fun. Sorry. Very sad. Steve Lawrence, dead at the age of 88. Then we have T.M. Stevens, bass legend and session pro musician. He performed with James Brown and Bootsy Collins and the Pretenders. I mean, he was big time performer. He has passed away at the age of 72. T.M. Stevens. I'm under the impression that he had dementia, because he had dementia diagnosis, according to one story that I read, in 2017. However, he was hospitalized last month with blood clots in his lungs. Huh. That's a little strange. And according to the reports, he died peacefully in his sleep. So I'm sure it had to do with just the dementia, not what you're thinking caused those blood clots. I know what you're thinking, and it doesn't say that. It just says, as a side note, oh yeah, he was hospitalized with blood clots in his lungs. That's it, though. Don't worry about it. Rest in peace, T.M. Stevens, dead at the age of 72. Then we have a Japanese pro wrestler, Yutaka Yoshi, you know him, you love him. He had a match this past weekend, and then when he was done with the match, he walked off and he died. He was 50 years old. Rest in peace, Yutaka Yoshi. He didn't seem like there was anything wrong in the match, and then he went backstage, and he said that, according to the people that were with him, his condition suddenly deteriorated. And he was rushed to the hospital, and that's where he died. So I know that he was, he was 5'10", 352 pounds. They all talk about him as the gentle giant. And some friends said that he had arteriosclerosis. So we'll see. It couldn't have been that, because he already was, had arteriosclerosis, and he was overweight. So rest in peace, Yutaka Yoshi, dead at the age of 50. Then we have John Barnett. He was the Boeing whistleblower. He's been whistleblowing on Boeing, and some of the testimony, I watched some videos of him, pretty damning to Boeing and what has been going on there. And he was 62. He was found dead in his truck in a parking lot in Charleston, North Carolina. He's the ex-quality manager at Boeing in North Charleston plant. And he gave his deposition last week claiming that they were using secondhand parts. Some was pretty damning. And he talked about the company's production standards. And he was, according to what I'm reading, he was found dead in his truck in a hotel parking lot in South Carolina. I may have said North Carolina. In South Carolina. And he'd been retired from Boeing for 7 years. So very sad. John Barnett, age 62. Whistleblower to Boeing, found dead in his truck. With a gunshot wound. Rest in peace to John Barnett. Don't look at me like that. Like it says in the story, it was a gunshot wound to the head. It didn't say multiple gunshot wounds to the head. It didn't say anything like that. It said that he committed, suicide in his pickup truck in South Carolina. So I know what you're thinking, but that's not what it says. So we'll see. We'll see what happens in the future. But as right now, it's just complete coincidence that he's a whistleblower to Boeing, and then he's found dead in his pickup truck. Then we have Deadspin. Deadspin, the website is, they are dead. They fired all their employees as part of a liquidation sale. And this just weeks after the blackface lawsuit. So 4 weeks after the family of 9-year-old Kansas City Chiefs fan sued Deadspin after their journalist Karen Phillips falsely accused him of wearing blackface at a game. So they announced that we're firing everyone and we sold the sports blogging site to a European company. And good luck, God bless. We're going to build a new team more in line with their editorial vision for the brand. And we just want to wish everyone good luck, God bless. Now, he claimed that we don't imagine the sale is likely to impact the lawsuit. Right. But okay. Okay, well, we'll see what happens. But Deadspin bites the dust. Then we have the deal with Choice Hotels. They announced that they're abandoning their $8 billion takeover bid for Wyndham Hotels and Resorts. So the merger would have created North America's largest budget hotel franchiser. And they've been trying to take over this company. It was a hostile takeover, and it ends, it's been quite a battle for the companies. After Choice publicly announced its intentions in October, at which point Wyndham said, hey, we've already rejected 4 offers from the company, so we're not looking to make a deal. And Choice was looking to take it over as a hostile takeover. And now they've announced, yeah, well, we're not going to do that now. So Wyndham shut them down. Wyndham Hotels and Resorts took on Choice and said, no, we're not doing it. You're not taking us over. We're not selling to you. Have a nice day. And we're not going to create the North America's largest budget hotel franchiser. Because that's a lifelong dream for anyone, to become North America's largest budget hotel franchiser. Am I right?
Dude, there's a new study published in the Journal of the American Heart Association, and it's funded by the National Institutes of Health, and it found that those of us who smoke weed daily are at a significantly higher risk of suffering a heart attack and stroke than those who don't. Bruh. I guess we need to think about, what we're doing every day. You know what I'm saying? They claim that, smoking tobacco was linked to heart disease. And now they say that smoking cannabis, the stuff that we do appear to be a risk factor for cardiovascular disease. Cardiovascular disease is the leading cause of death in the United States. So this could be important, underappreciated source for heart disease. Who says that though? These researchers analyzing data at the CDC, they looked at, a few 400,000 American adults, and 4% were daily cannabis users. I'm in the 4%, and 7% used the drug about 5 days a month. So 5 days a month. That's not daily. There are some people that, fire up that big old bong every day. You know what I'm saying? Ooh. So, anyway, Cannabis has been increasing. I hope so. And the likelihood of experiencing cardiovascular condition was much lower for non-daily users, but still higher than for those who did not use marijuana at all. So, I mean, just know that when you're hanging out and you're firing this bad boy up, over time, it's a risk factor. At the same time, though, we have the FDA saying that we're going to expedite the development of LSD to treat anxiety. So a single dose of the LSD formulation MM120 had a 48% rate of remission from generalized anxiety disorder after 12 weeks. Oh, so I need to, you know, microdose 12 weeks. The biotech company MindMed, I'm a big fan of MindMed. They released this information. The positive clinical trial results were enough for the FDA to say, hey, this is breakthrough therapy status, which can lead to fast-track approval. So psychedelics have long been used to treat mental illness in conjunction with psychotherapy, and the MindMed study was the first to prove LSD can alleviate anxiety without the help of therapy. I mean, you want to purchase MindMed's stock, now would be the time, because this trial was very encouraging. So at the same time, they're telling us, hey, no, you can't smoke pot every day. But hey, you know what? You need to be ready to microdose LSD. You have anxiety? Yeah, here's some LSD. Take that. It's amazing. I mean, it's all perspective, right? It's all in how you look at things. I'll leave you with the joke of the day today. And the joke of the day today is about perspective. It's kind of a joke, but it's a thought. It's perspective. It's all in how you see things. Tonight, we are having Himalayan rabbit stew for dinner. And you think, okay, see, Himalayan rabbit stew for dinner. It sounds exotic. You're good to go. But really, they found Himalayan in the road. You see what I'm saying? It's all a matter of perspective.
Stream and subscribe to more Blaze Media content at theblaze.com/podcasts.